Hi, everybody. Happy Thursday. So welcome to Planatial's podcast. This is supposed to be Wine Wednesday. It is now Thursday. I'm having quite the work week, so a little delayed here on Wine Wednesday. And since I'm still in the office, I do not have any wine because I am still working. And so apologies for the delay. This was supposed to start earlier, but I just finished up with clients, so I'm about an hour late here. But what I wanted to talk about today for today's topic for Wine Wednesday is home buying, because it's something that we talk a lot about. And so just to give you some breakdown of some the questions, we have two questions. The first question with home buying is, now a good time to buy a home? The other question was about first-time home purchases. Just to give you a summary, I think that if you're in a good financial position to buy a home, I usually think that that is a good move. Right now, home prices are a bit high, so I don't know if today, this moment, but in general, I would say in the short term, hopefully we'll see home prices come down when we see costs come down for new builds. Those usually peg together, so as long as one comes down. But interest rates are really low, which is really wonderful, because interest rates, you know, I know people who bought houses, gosh, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, they were paying really high interest rates for mortgages. And so when you're talking about the interest rate will determine what you're going to pay to borrow that money. So when you have a really low interest rate, you're not spending as much on interest. So you're not spending as much to borrow the money in order to buy the house. So that is a big advantage of buying a home now, is you could get a really low rate. Some people are getting rates. I think one of the lowest I heard was 2.5%. Some other people, 4%. Either of those, anywhere in between, is a great rate. Historically low rates. So that is an advantage of buying a home now. With the first-time home buyer programs, they allow you typically, they help you purchase a home with putting less down. I think that if that's the only option, if that's the way to get you into a home, I think that makes sense. I think it's really important if you're going to be buying a home that you are in a financial position to do so. So even if you're using one of the first-time home buying programs and you don't have to put 20% down, I think you need to be in a good, stable financial position, because when things go wrong with the house, it's usually very expensive. So versus, to give you an idea, renting, if there's an issue with, I'm just giving you personal examples, the sewage line or a rodent problem or the hot water heater or what else can be really, air conditioning is also very expensive. And depending on where you live, might be very, very necessary. And so if that all, any of those things that I just mentioned go wrong when you own a home, you're responsible for obviously fixing it. You don't have a landlord to call, you're the landlord. And so those expenses can be pretty high. So to give you an idea, you know, a sewage line could run $12,000, $15,000. Rodent problems can be expensive. Hot water heaters are expensive. All these things are all things that could go wrong with a home. And so I don't like to see people go into buying a home if they couldn't stomach or they're not prepared for any of these expenses that could come up with home ownership. Because I think a worst case scenario is getting into a home where you just barely made it in terms of meeting the financial requirements. And then God forbid something goes wrong and now you're in credit card debt. Like, that's not going to be fun at all. So I like the first time home buying programs, as long as when you get into the home, if there were to be a problem, you have the money and resources to, you know, you have a good emergency fund to be able to take care of anything that might come up. Otherwise, I would normally say that I think it's great to save for a down payment, and I'd like to see down payments closer to 20%. The reason why is because then when you go to get a mortgage, you don't have to pay PMI, which is primary mortgage insurance. So you have enough equity. The 20% is paying for enough of the home that you're only borrowing 80%. And so that way you don't have to pay that PMI. That being said, if that's out of your realm of possibilities and you're going to do a first time home purchasing program and you put 10% down or 5% down, I think that's totally fine. I just think it's really important that you have an emergency fund so that you have something in case of emergency. With the 20% down, if you saved enough for the 20% down, then you should be able to save additionally for an emergency fund, so that when you own a property, it's one way to think about it is it always needs something. I would say almost every year the property needs something. And then if it doesn't, that's great. And I always think it's a good idea to save for maintenance expenses on your property. And then if you don't need any to do any maintenance or any improvements, you can just put the money in the bank and then save it for next year. Hopefully nothing comes up, but usually with properties, things come up. So just to give you an idea to talk about with home buying, then you would use, you know, we'll just use the example of 20% you would put down, you would take out a mortgage for the rest of it. I really like fixed mortgages so that it's a fixed rate for the entire mortgage. Usually for first-time home buyers, they go for a 30-year. I think that's fine. You know exactly what you're going to pay for the next 30 years. It also means the monthly payment's lower. So if it was a little bit more of a stretch to get into the house, then I would do the 30-year because that gives you the most breathing room in terms of budget. Another popular fixed mortgage option is a 15-year. That's going to be a higher monthly payment. Obviously, you're going to pay for the house in 15 years versus 30. So you're going to pay a higher monthly number. I would only do that if you're really sound financially. The benefit of the 30-year is a lower monthly payment. The downside of a 30-year fixed mortgage is you're going to pay more in interest, right? Because you're borrowing the money for 30 years. The benefits of a 15-year is that you pay less in interest, but as I said, you would have a higher monthly payment. And so, you know, you have to make sure you're in a good financial position because you have to make your mortgage every month. And so just to give you an idea, we'll just use round numbers. If you were looking at a house that was $150,000, and I know that's impossible, but the reason I did 150 is that you can use it as a multiplier. So you could say the house is actually 300 or the house is 600 or whatever, but you can use 150 as your multiplier. So $150,000, we would do a 30-year fixed mortgage. Your mortgage amount would be $120,000. Your interest rate, we'll just say, is 4.5%. Your monthly payment would be $608. Now, that is your principal and interest payment. We'll talk a second about what else would be in there. And so over that time frame, the total interest that you're going to pay is $100,000. Spending a lot in interest is 30-year, but also very reasonable monthly amount at 608. When you're buying a home, besides your principal and interest, you always need to look at taxes. It depends on where you live, what the monthly taxes are going to be. There are certain areas in New York where your taxes could be more than your mortgage payment. So your mortgage principal and interest could be 608 and your taxes could be $700 a month. And you also have to add in insurance. And if you don't put the 20% down, which we just talked about, you'd also have primary mortgage insurance besides homeowner's insurance. So just to summarize, we're going to keep this short and sweet today. I like the idea of home ownership. I think now to answer the questions, if you're not going to be overpaying for a house and you found some area where houses are reasonably priced right now, it would be a good time. I like the idea of looking for houses if you're in the market for it because interest rates are low, but I wouldn't overpay, obviously. And the first-time home buying programs, I'd absolutely look into them to see what's available in your area. Even when using one, I really like the idea of putting down some money. I've heard of programs where you don't really have to put anything down. I don't like that. I think it's important to save for down payment, whether it's, I like 20%. If it's 10, then it's 10. But I think it's important because when you own a home, there's a lot of expenses that come up. So besides saving for the down payment, I would save for some emergency fund for the house. And then when you're in the house, I would always budget a certain dollar amount, depending on whether it's a new build or old, of what you think maybe expenses are going to be for the house. So you'll know how old the hot water heater is, how old the roof is, so that you can budget for those monthly for when those expenses come up, they don't end up on a credit card or totally deplete an emergency fund. And then from there, in terms of mortgages, I like doing either a 30, I think for a first-time home buyer, a 30-year fixed is great, just so that you have all that breathing room, you have the lower amount, you can always refinance it and switch how long you have the mortgage, or you can always prepay principal. You could always go in and make double payments and shorten the length of your loan. But you can't ever, you know, if you started a 15-year, then you'd have to go refinance to a 30-year. And that's typically what you do is you start your longer time horizon and then, you know, refinance to a shorter time frame. So those would be my tips for home ownership. I think it's a great idea. Oh, and not to mention, once you, besides owning it and rather than paying rent, you're building equity, so you're going to own a tangible asset at the end of it. You get a bit of a tax break for owning it, right? So you get to write off some of the interest on the mortgage, depending on where you live. And it's forced savings, so you're building equity versus paying for rent. And there's a huge tax break when you go to sell your primary residence, which the you have to have, it has to be your primary residence for 24 months out of the last 5 years, so 2 years out of the last 5 years. But when you go to sell, you get a capital gains exclusion, meaning you don't owe capital gains tax on an increase in value of $250,000 per person. So $250,000 if you're a single person and $500,000 for a married filing joint. So that's a huge tax break. So if you buy a house and you live in it for, we'll just say you lived in it for 30 years and it increased in value by $250,000 and you go and sell it, you walk away with $250,000 and you don't owe tax on that portion because it's your primary residence. So it's a huge tax break when you go to sell. I would say probably one of our biggest, I don't want to call it a loophole, but one of the biggest tax breaks you get in our tax code. And so I'm a big fan of home ownership. You just want to make sure you're financially sound before you go into it. And depending on how this video does, if we have any more questions, I can go over more of the nitty gritty of what you need to have prepared in order to qualify for a mortgage and what they're going to look at in terms of all the fun ratios that the bank will look at. So hopefully this was helpful. And if you want to learn more about personal finance, you can check out our podcast. So we air an episode every Friday. And you can also check out our online classes at www.futurerichpodcast.com.